Chapter 10, as we continue our study through the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, our 15th, we've been looking at the major topics of Proverbs as they occur. We looked at the fear of the Lord, the importance of acquiring wisdom, the follies of foolishness, walking uprightly, separation, and trusting in the Lord, finances, keeping thy heart. The family, the tongue, God's power, and then sluggardness versus diligence and work. Seven things that God hates. Last week we looked at the Word of God in the book of Proverbs. And today we look at Proverbs commanding us to love others, which is obviously a theme all throughout the Scriptures. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, which does not come from the Ten Commandments of Exodus 20, by the way. It comes from the book of Leviticus. But here in Proverbs chapter 10, we kick off another topic which has to do with how we treat others, verse 12. So, Brother Scott, if you could read that, and we'll pray and get started. Proverbs 10, 12.
Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. As we look into your precious and powerful word, use it in our hearts today to teach us and to guide us in your perfect will. Lord, we want to please you. So I pray, Lord, if there's anything in our hearts, any unforgiveness, any animosity, that you would help us to remove that with the Holy Spirit's guidance. And Lord, I pray that we would learn to love others as you love us. So guide us now. And may you be honored by this time, in Jesus' name, amen. So the verse starts off with the contrast to love, which is hatred. So we'll look at that first. The Bible says that hatred stirreth up strifes. We all know that to be true, but Proverbs actually has a lot to say about the dangers and the sin of hatred. We're also told in the New Testament that we're never to hate one another. But we'll look at what Proverbs has to say. So 14:21, Howard, and Philip 15:1, and Roy 15:18, and Mark 26:21, and Maggie 29:22. So let's start at 14:21 and see what Proverbs has to say about hatred.
He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he.
So despising our neighbor is sin. God's made that clear. Philip 14:29.
Soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
Grievous words stir up anger. 15:18, Roy.
A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger
is strife. So notice the wrathful man, again, stirs up strife. And then 26:21, Mark. Contentions just stir up more strife. And then Maggie 29:22.
An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression.
So we see that God, through Solomon, warned us about the dangers of anger and hatred. We also will see that there are scriptures that teach that it actually makes our life miserable. So that's 15:17. Brad, if you could read that one. And any other volunteers over here? Before I move on, James 19:19, Doug 27:3. So 15:17, Brother Brad.
It is a vineyard of herbs where love is, and a store of hops, and hatred therewith.
Again, you don't want to be around it. And then 19:19.
A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, but love loveth him, yes, thou must do it.
So notice that a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. And then 27:3, Doug.
Stone is heavy in the sand weighted, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both.
So many warnings here about hatred, about anger. And of course, we know that as God's children, we're commanded to love one another. Amen? Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And then he defined why it was new. He said, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So he's taking it a step up from loving our neighbors ourselves, and now says, now I want you to love one another as I've loved you. And so we look at his love for us. That is our standard of love, which is unconditional love, amazing love. So let's look at the contrast now here in 10:12. He says, love covereth all sins. So love obviously forgives. Amen. And that's the point that he's getting across here, is love includes forgiveness. So do I have any more volunteers on this side before I start over? No? Okay, let's start over. Brother Jim, 17:9. Howard, 17:17. Philip, 19:11. And Mark, or Roy, 26:24-26. All right, so 17:9. Brother.
He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends.
So when we're wronged, the first thing we're supposed to do is go tell all of our friends, right? Wrong. That's not what we're supposed to do. What did Jesus say? Go to him alone. Amen? And deal with it. Don't spread it by getting other people involved so that they take on your offense. And he says the same thing here. To cover it, that's love. But to repeat it just breaks people up. All right, 17:17, Howard. So a true friend loves us even when we fall. Amen? Even when we make mistakes and sin. A true friend loveth at all times. All right, 19:11, Philip.
The discretion of a man deferreth the good, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression.
It's his glory to pass over a transgression, to forgive it. And then a longer passage, 24-26, Roy. So again, if we're not willing to forgive, this is what happens. It affects us, but then it affects those around us. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about bitterness and how it even impacts those around us. So love covers all sins. Our neighbor, which is not just our neighbor, right? Jesus made that clear when the smart aleck man asked Jesus, "Who then is my neighbor?" And then Jesus told the parable of what? The Good Samaritan, right? Our neighbor is whoever needs our help. That's what Jesus said. And Solomon has a lot to say about how our neighbor should be able to be secure by us because we treat him with kindness. We treat him with love. So we'll look at those scriptures now. 14:21, James. And 16:29, Brad. And 21:10, Doug. Maggie's not here. Okay, so 14:20, I'm talking about how our neighbor, we are to love our neighbor. So James 14:21.
He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he.
Thank you, 16:29, Brad. And then 21:10, Doug.
The soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes.
Good. And then 24:28, Brother Jim. And 25:9, Howard. 25:17, Philip. And 26:18, Roy. All talking about how our neighbor should be able to be secure beside us. Jim?
Be not a witness.
And then Howard, 25:9.
Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not the secret to another.
This would be the Proverbs equivalent of Matthew 18, where Jesus says, go to him alone. If somebody hurts you, you don't go and tell everybody else. You go to that person alone and give them an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. 25:17, Philip. That's a good one. Don't overstay your welcome. And then Roy 26:18.
As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death.
26:18. Is that just 18?
Yeah.
Then 19 then.
So is the man that deceived his neighbor and said, I'm not I.
So again, God expects our neighbor to be able to be safe and secure by being our friend, being our neighbor, because we are commanded to love our neighbors. We're commanded to have mercy. Look at 11:17 of Proverbs. God is merciful. The Bible says we're to be merciful like He is. 11:17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. God expects us to have mercy on those who need it. Look at 14:21. Which we just looked at. It says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Very good. So God expects us to have mercy on everyone, but especially, as you see here in 14:21, on the poor. If we see someone that needs our mercy, we're to give it. And are there New Testament verses that say the same? That if somebody has a need, we're supposed to meet it? Yes or no? Yeah, you're allowed to say yes. 1 John 3, right? Verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you see your brother have a need, meet it. So there are a lot of verses on this, meeting the needs of the poor. So let's look at them. Where did I finish? Right here, 14:31, Mark, 17:5, James, 19:17, Brad, and 21:13, Doug. So this is all the verses in Proverbs that say that we are to show mercy and kindness to the poor. Mark 14:31.
He that oppresseth the poor, refresheth his maker, and he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor.
He that honoreth him, talking about God, has mercy on the poor. And then 17:5. And then
19:17.
That would tie in with Luke 6:38, right? Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. All right, and then the next one, Doug. That was. All right, 22:9, Brother Jim. 22:16, Brother Howard. And 22:22-23, Roy. And 28:8, Mark. So let's start there at 22:9.
He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor.
And 22:16, Howard.
He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth
and then Roy
22:23.
So Proverbs has a lot to say about being kind to the poor, doesn't it? There's two more, 28:27. Let's just turn over there quickly. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. And then over in 29:7, the last one, the righteous, considereth the cause of the poor. So a lot of advice about watching out for those that have a need. And of course, Jesus again told us the parable of the Good Samaritan to teach us that if we see someone with a need, and we have the means to meet the need, we don't go and pray for that person. We meet the need. Amen? All right. So Proverbs has a lot to say about how we treat others. Another aspect of that is that we don't avenge ourselves, which is an Old and New Testament concept. So notice chapter 20, verse 22. For a Christian, vengeance is sin. Very important that we understand this. And I know as kids we learn it. He hit me first, right? So that made it okay for me to hit him back. But that's not how it works when you're a Christian, is it? We forgive. And we leave it with the Lord. So notice chapter 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. So say not thou, I'm going to pay him back with revenge, but wait on the Lord. Doesn't he say the exact same thing in Romans chapter 12? Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, Romans 12:19. So Old Testament, New Testament, we're not to avenge ourselves. Let's look at some scriptures on this. I'm going to start over because I forgot where I was. So 24:17 and 18, Brother Jim, and 24:29, Howard, and Philip, 25:21 to 22. Talking about whether or not we should take vengeance. So Brother Jim, 24:17 and 18.
Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him.
So notice God is saying, if we're not careful, we're going to flip it to the other side. So we cannot take vengeance, and we can't rejoice when our enemy falls. Because God says, if you do that, God may not now punish the enemy. But now he has to chastise you. We don't want that, do we? All right, so 24:29, Brother Howard.
Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his word.
So say not, I will pay him back for hurting me, right? And then Philip 25:21 to 22. And don't ask about the coals of fire on his head, because nobody really knows what it means. There's about 10 different explanations you can find out there. What's important is, if your enemy's hungry, it doesn't say to laugh about it, right? It says what? Give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, don't rejoice, but give him something to drink and leave it to the Lord. That is an Old Testament and a New Testament concept for conflict. Okay, so Proverbs. We're to love one another, we're to forgive, we're not to avenge ourselves, we're to show mercy on the poor. All of this under the package of how we treat one another, which is always to be with love. If you go to 25:20, God even touches on empathy there a little bit. Chapter 25, verse 20. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. What do you think God is saying there? By the way, nitre is soda. So, singeth songs to a heavy heart. Does the Bible talk about us empathizing with those that are hurting? Yes or no? Yes, it does. Romans chapter 12 again. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and what? Weep with them that weep. So all through the Old and the New Testament, but even here in the book of Proverbs, our 15th topic is we are to show love and mercy and forgiveness to everyone. We are to be Christ-like in how we treat others, always with kindness, always with forgiveness, always with love. Thoughts or questions about this topic in Proverbs? Come on, there's got to be some. Yes, sir.
Just in case people haven't met me, my name's Steve. And it's interesting, the concept of vengeance. I know we're not supposed to, and please don't misunderstand me, but vengeance can be great, feels good, And sometimes our carnal maker foregoes what Christ would have us do, and we do revenge ourselves. And
yes, it is one of the tendencies of the flesh, for sure.
Yeah, and it's not easy. It's difficult, and you need to be really embedded in the concept of Christ-like love.
Amen. Amen. And that is a huge part of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
When Christ hung on that cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he was not only asking God to forgive, but he was also teaching us, wasn't he? That in the midst of all these people abusing him and nailing him to a cross, he asked God to forgive those who actually did nail him to the cross. Teaching us what true love is all about. Yes, Mark? Yes, he did. And if he would have, because he's God, he would have been fully justified in doing it. Right? But that's not the God that we serve, is it? We serve a God of forgiveness. Praise God. Forgiveness is the heart of Christianity. Yes, Rachel?
I'm just thinking everything that's going on in the world today, and, you know, this church is divided and families divided. Even more is there any time that we need to remember all these principles of God's word, kindness, and, you know, differences of opinion, and just to go take it all back to God's word and how we're still supposed to treat one another, even if we don't necessarily agree on topics.
Amen. Thank you. That was good. I will talk about the stoplight system, but not on the camera. Yes. I would say that in those situations, you just have to rely on the Holy Spirit. If you believe, if God leads you to help that person, then do it. You're right. There's a lot of people that take advantage of these biblical concepts because they know they're there. I mean, I don't know, maybe an average of once every 6 weeks we have people stop by the church. It's always after church, never before church, asking for help. Why do they do that? Why do they go to churches asking for help? Because they know what the Bible says. And they know that we as a church have a responsibility to help those in need. So are there people that take advantage of that? Yes. But you know what? Trust God. If we end up helping somebody that really didn't need help, God will still bless us. Yes, Steve.
You know, the Lord talks about giving alms to those in need. I had an experience when I was working in Western Australia in the mines. I was in a supermarket and I saw this person. And I could tell she was going to get into trouble. And the Spirit told me, help her. But I resisted. I sat back and watched the events roll out. And what happened? She went to the checkout and she'd stolen some food. And she got caught. And I said to myself, why didn't you listen to the Spirit and help her out? So I tried to go to the manager and I says, look, can I pay for everything this lady took? And she says, no. Once she's taken it and stepped out of the store, she's liable to be prosecuted. And I think in our lives, we need to be aware of the opportunities where we have to give our alms. And I hope my accent isn't saying arms as it's arms, but A-L-M-S.
We knew what you were saying.
Yeah. Now, at the West End shopping centre, there's a Chinese takeaway, and there was, during winter, there are people who beg there, and when I see someone there, I always ask them, do you want a packet of fish and chips? And they say, yes, please. So I give it to them. One day there was a guy there and I says, oh, do you want some fish and chips? He says, no, I want the money. And what do you do in a situation like that? You know, the Lord says, be kind to everyone, But we have the power of discernment.
That's right.
To know that these people are only there to get money, get their next hit, and...
That's right.
And so...
That's why we as a church, we have a policy, we don't give money. We'll give groceries, we'll give petrol, but we don't give money. Yeah. Feely?
Charles, the experience as a Christian, sometimes they take advantage of us.
Yes.
And they abuse us, and sometimes they bully us. They take advantage of you as a Christian. But, you know, we should overcome evil with good.
That's right.
So at the end, you will lead them to the Lord.
That's what you're to do. As he said, heap coals of fire on their head. Whatever that means. Christine?
I'm just thinking along the same lines, and again with what Rachel said about the current events going on, and it's so easy to pray for the demise of those who you see working against what you might think the Lord wants for us. But instead we're praying for their salvation and treating them with kindness, they're in powerful positions. And how much better would it be someone who is converted in a powerful position than to be willing their demise and their destruction? So I guess it's always having that perspective. It's actually not them attacking us. It's Satan attacking Christ, and we have to just always remember that.
Yes, we are commanded to pray for those in power, and we're not commanded to pray for them to die. So that's just taking vengeance, isn't it? All right, those are good questions, comments. Anything else? Ethan, do you mind hitting the button?